thank you very much, Ryan. I mean, how can you do something in Alabama and not talk about Nick Saban? I was just sitting here watching him on ESPN.
Well, what did he say, Earl?
Oh, he was coaching, and I heard the guys talking about this is one of the best camps they ever been to and one of the hardest camps they're working down there at the University of Alabama.
If you don't mind, I know this may sound disrespectful, but I feel like that it's disrespectful. At your legendary status, at your caliber of player, I feel bad by not calling you Mr. Campbell.
So, no, just call me Earl.
Well, and I feel so disrespectful, but you're...
That's
you're...
what Coach Saban would say. Hey, Earl. I'd say, how you doing, Coach?
Well, Coach, you probably like the way that Saban likes to run things. If we look at the backs and we look at what he's able to accomplish, he likes to pound the football between the tackles. I think that would make a guy like Earl Campbell have very happy.
That's like the legendary Bump Phillips ran me. That was really good. I mean, it's nothing like running the football. I think in order to win the big games, you got to have a running attack as well as a passing attack. I don't think you can win the big football games just, and Nick has proved that. I don't believe you can just run, just pass the football. I think you got to have a running attack, you got to have a defense, and you got to have a passing game. Alabama got the guys up front that'll run a running back right on into winning the Heisman Trophy as well.
Well, and it's one of those guys that we're considering here. We've got a guy by the name of T.J. Yeldon, Derrick Henry, and Kenyon Drake, and there's three backs in the backfield, and all of them are capable of being starters at other places in the Southeastern Conference. How was it when you had depth behind you? Does that help a back out when he knows that he's got a guy that can come in and take a few reps and not lose a lot, even though the starter's always better? But how was it having depth behind you?
Well, in my situation, college and pro football, I always knew that it was a guy behind me. But you know what it did to me the most of all? It made me want to be the best even more, because I knew if he came in the game, there was going to be yards I could have had. So I stayed on my hoppy horse, and I think that's a great job when I – offense has backs that can come in and replace the other ones, because that starter is always looking over his shoulder. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I know somebody's going to come here and try to do it a little bit better.
But did that ever make you nervous as a player? Obviously, not too many people have the caliber of back that you were. But one of the things that I'm always concerned with, because you're always nervous about making a mistake, and when you've got this much
depth. I think a great football player, knowing that somebody is behind him, whether it's quarterback, guard. I play running back, so I would know those other positions. But I knew in the back of Earl Campbell's mind that there was somebody, Bum Phillips or Darrell Royal or Fred Akers, could have put into the ball game. But I knew one thing. When it comes to running this football, it goes through me. And then somebody else. But that then was left up to myself. Nobody ever knew that about me, but I was very cocky about not letting somebody else come into the game unless and I said, hey, Coach, I think I came to this football team. I took a guy's position named Ronnie Coleman. I think he should have a chance to play. That's what I did when we was playing in Astrodome in Houston against Miami, because I needed like 3 or 4 yards to set a record, and Bum Phillips asked me, do you want to go set that record or do you want Ronnie to have a chance to play? I say Ronnie Coleman should play. That's how I looked at it.
Right now we're talking with Earl Campbell, and legendary Hall of Fame caliber, not on the college football, not only the College Football Hall of Fame, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well. And he was a Heisman Trophy winner here. And obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about Texas and sort of work our way back to Charlie Strong. Earl, how in the world did you get in meat products, my friend? I mean, you're a great back and was able to have a legendary status in the National Football League. How did you to get in the idea of creating your own sausage and feeding people, not only just feeding football and touchdown?
I think this. Everybody that lives in the South, I don't know. I say the South because that's where I live, in Austin, Texas. I don't think there's no man that doesn't believe in the South, he can barbecue. His barbecue is better than anybody's. And I, that's how I kind of grew up. And I met two gentlemen when I was here just working at the university. After I quit football, I had graduated from college, so I came back to live here and work for the university. And they asked me about investing something. I didn't get in that deal, so I got in the meat business with them. And over the sausage business. And one of them was pretty cocky. They decided after they tasted the meat, they said, we're going to find somebody to make this sausage. I didn't think nothing about it. In my mind, I was thinking about Jimmy Dean. How would Earl Campbell sausage sound? So it was just good Lord's blessing how we got into it. But it's been a good business, and we sell it all over the country now. And as a matter of fact, we do some business with Publix right there in Alabama. We do business with Publix in South Carolina, Tennessee, and North Carolina as well. So all those people down there, even Nick, tell your football team, Saban, coach, to go out and buy some, and maybe y'all have a barbecue at the end of spring tour days or something.
You think he would feed us media guys?
Oh, yeah. If he don't, y'all come over to Texas, then I'll cook it for you.
Earl Campbell.
But we think it's a great product, and I really am. Take my hat off to Publix for letting us get over in that part of the country and the other people we're doing business with as well.
Well, the good thing, Earl, is we've got a lot of Publix right here in our back door.
Oh, that's good. Is that place Dreamland Barbecue still down there?
Yeah. It's one of Earl, it's one of our sponsors, so you can brag on them all you want.
Oh, man, that's some good barbecue there. I came over through there a couple of times, and I was with Kenny Stabler one time over there. That's some good stuff there now.
Well, now Kenny's a pretty good cook. You're going to have to introduce him to Earl Campbell sausage as well.
Oh, we have a Love You Blue reunion every now and then, and I think Snake done had some.
Earl Campbell.
If there never comes another athlete out of the university, and I know Coach putting some good ones out of there, but in my area, that Kenny Stabler is some kind of man. He's a great man, and I enjoy it all the time I get to spend with him. And, of course, we was in the hole together. He used to ask me one time, he said, hey, fella, number 34, what do you think? I had been running the ball so much, guess what I told him? I said, Snake, throw one. He's something. Throw a pass.
Well, Earl, let me ask you to do us a favor, because I want to work to our football conversation, but we're big advocates for Kenny Stabler.
Yes.
We'd love to get him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think he's deserving.
You know, I tell you something about the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I hope Snake is listening to this, as well as a lot of other great football players y'all have down there in that part of the country, and not necessarily just Alabama. You have Mississippi State, all those colleges down there. I believe the Hall of Fame, what happens is, okay, you take my area when I played pro ball, right?
Yes,
unfortunately,
sir.
Some of those guys that was writing and reporting in sports and news and everything, when I was playing and Snake was playing, they was in a position to vote for who they won and who they didn't want. Well, unfortunately, some of them passed on. Some of them got off of the committee. Some of them retired from the sports business. And a young guy like you come along. Well, you remember the guy that's playing in your area. You don't know much about the Earl Campbell, the Kenny Stabler. That's a lot what has taken place, and we're trying every bit we can to, as guys that's in the Hall of Famers now, reach back and get more guys like Kenny, like his partner that just got in. And we got a great guy that's not in the Hall of Fame, and it's a bunch of them. But two of them come to my mind is a guy named Robert Brazil that played with me. He started all this stuff, Lawrence Taylor did, and linebackers after him, well, he's not in the Hall of Fame. There's just so many guys. Tom Jackson reports for ESPN, played when I played. He's not in the Hall of Fame. So we try every year to vote for more and more guys that play like Kenny, because if there's anything such as quarterbacks should be in the Hall of Fame, Kenny Stabler got my vote. And he got his peers' vote.
That's an amazing compliment, and we're big fans of Kenny Stabler. He's down to
great
earth.
Great guy.
He is. He's down to earth and a guy that we miss here in Tuscaloosa as far as our radio broadcast. But anyway, we're talking right now with Earl Campbell, and I do appreciate you bringing up Kenny Stabler.
Thank you.
Let's go back to a little bit of a conversation. How in the world did someone look at Earl Campbell and say, you know what, I think he could be a kicker? How in the world did you become a kicker and then transition into a linebacker and then a running back?
Well, when I was in the – all this kind of started when I was in the fifth grade. I lied to my mom. I have two brothers that are twins. I have seven of them, or six of them, but two of them are twins. So I signed the twins' physical to play football. They signed my physical. We went to this doctor that delivered me named Earl Christian Kinsey. That's how I got my name. So he told us that he knew that wasn't my mom's writing, but he gave us the physical anyway. And we started telling my mother we missed the bus to play football. She went along with it after a while, and then the people started telling her what we was doing, and she didn't like that. She didn't really want us to play football. But in junior high, I kind of messed around a little bit with running the football. By the time I got to high school, I was a middle linebacker. My brothers was the outside linebackers, and I wanted to be Dick Buckus. That's what I thought I was. I was bow-legged, so I tried to walk like him. The only thing with Dick and I, he was a white guy, and I was a black guy. But so on. So one day, we needed a kicker, and they asked me to kick the football. I did that. Then somebody came and took that, but it got into all that stuff, and God gave me a talent to be an exceptional athlete, and I found that out, and I took it, and I worked at it, and then people like Coach Saban and coaches before him and people just worked with me, and that's how it took off. And I know we're going to get into being a running back, and one day at practice, my junior year, going into my senior year, junior before I was a senior, the coach says, hey, our running back graduated. So would you all, somebody talk to Earl and see if he'd be a running back. And I used to run the line of scrimmage and throw the ball down. I'd fumble it because I wanted to be a running back, a linebacker. And one day the coach said, you hold on to that ball, we'll let you play both ways, Campbell. And I took off at being a running back.